the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We come to you from the Food City in Fountain City. And I want to thank Food City for being a sponsor throughout for our big ticket. We're going to have that winner announced here in the next 15 to 20 minutes. Also, a thanks to Body Armor Sports Drink for being our sponsor as well. And know that you can buy any Body Armor product using your Food City value card, and you would get entered into for a chance to win a Body Armor Blaney golf cart. And they're going to announce that winner September the 18th. So a great prize right there. Now time for the Sports Fix at 6. We got a $25 gift card to New Balance Knoxville. And New Balance carries everything from footwear to apparel to accessories. Now whether it's running, walking, or simply looking good, the wide selection can help you reach your goals. New Balance Knoxville, located 8027 Kingston Pike in Knoxville. Here's a trivia question. Aaron Rodgers has lost three NFC championship games as a quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. There's only one quarterback who has lost more NFC title games than Aaron Rodgers. Name him. Aaron Rodgers has lost three NFC title games. One quarterback has lost more. Name that quarterback. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Is it Danny? Let's go to Danny. Danny, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Hey, Danny, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Vince?
Good. How you doing, Danny?
Pretty good. Is it now NFL quarterback?
Yeah, NFC. NFC.
NFC. Oh, gosh. God, I don't know who the quarterbacks are in NFC.
They got about 16 of them. Actually, this can go back a ways now. This doesn't necessarily mean it's a current quarterback, okay?
Oh, gosh. I don't know who the NFCs are.
Okay.
All right. I'll let somebody get it.
Okay. Okay, Danny. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're on the Sports Fix.
Jimmy, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great, Gary. How are you?
Good. I have no idea who it is, but I'm just going to take a guess, and I'm going to say it's Brett Favre.
Well, that's a really good guess. Brett Favre has lost three NFC title games. He's tied with Aaron Rodgers and a couple of others, by the way, for the second most losses of any quarterback in the NFC in NFC title games. That's a really good guess, Gary, but it's not correct.
All right. You guys have a good evening.
Well, thank you. Thanks for participating. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, is it Donovan McNabb?
Yes, it is. It's Donovan McNabb. McNabb with the Philadelphia Eagles lost four NFC title games. Good job, Mark. The others... Steve Young lost three with San Francisco, and Danny White lost three with Dallas. So there are four that lost three, and Donovan McNabb lost four NFC title games. Hey, Mark, congratulations to you. You've won a $25 gift card to New Balance Knoxville, so we're going to put you on hold and get that gift card to you. Good job, Mark.
Great. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. And that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6. When we come back, we've got a lot to touch on. We're going to recap a conversation with Cole Kubelik. Recap Vince's interview with Britton Colquitt. Also comments from Brent Hubbs. And we're also going to announce the winner of the big ticket. So we'll have all of that coming to you a little bit later this hour. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We're at Food City, Fountain City. And this is we're going to have our announcement a little bit later on the winner of the big ticket. That's season tickets for Tennessee football. men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, Titans, and Ice Bears. How about that? So, and we do appreciate Food City for being a sponsor. We appreciate Body Armor Soft Drinks for being a sponsor, Sports Drinks for being a sponsor as well. Till then, I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Vince, I wanted to get your take. What are your thoughts on whether or not a high school player who becomes a midterm enrollee should be able to play at that college if they have spring football?
Well, it's a good point because it is a similar type of situation where you are condensing a lot of games within a short amount of time. It also is a fair point that we don't know how the fall season is going to play out for high school kids. Are they going to play as many games? Are they going to be able to finish those games? Plus, you need to make a determination, I think, across the board, where some high school players are going to get to play a full season, others are going to play a partial season, and others aren't going to be able to play at all. So what ruling do you make based on that? Because some high schoolers will probably be ready to go that didn't get a chance to play high school football. They won't have that situation where others would, and others will have it somewhere in the middle. So now you're relying on the NCAA to make a ruling based on all these things that are all over the place. So when they're not all over the place, they have a hard time with these kind of decisions, with any decision. So I think that makes it very complicated, Jimmy. I'm guessing that they, even though the coaches would probably plead for it so they could at least fill a gap here and there, my guess is that they would not allow them because of all of the inconsistency of the of what could happen in high school football leading in. But I see the health and safety if you're maxing out, but there's going to be such a variance there. I don't know how you can rule based on that worst-case scenario assumption.
So you think the NCAA will not allow midterm high school players to play spring football in college? That's what you think they'll do?
As silly as it is to try to guess what the NCAA does, and I get asked that all the time, I would think that, yes, they would not do so. And one quick point on that, because I know we got to go to the Facebook Live here in a second. Mark Emmert, in an interview today, he said that we cannot, and this is from Brett McMurphy, we cannot at this point have fall NCAA championships. And Brett pointed out that it does not impact FBS football. All other fall sports may compete in regular season competitions, but without a chance to win a national title. So, Jimmy, can you explain that? Why it would be okay to play regular season competitions, but you cancel the championships?
You mean for those conferences that are doing it? Because obviously the big, the Pac-12 is not.
Right. What he's saying is there will, at this point, there can't be any fall NCAA championships.
Even though for example, if the SEC and ACC are playing soccer, he's saying you can't play a soccer championship, or the Big 12's got soccer. Right. It doesn't make any sense, but most of what he says doesn't make any sense. So I'm not surprised. At least that's my opinion. By the way, you said the NCAA you don't think would allow the high schoolers. Would you allow a high school kid to be a midterm enrollee and play college?
I have to give that more thought, Jimmy, because I think the college – the game totals is too much. I'm not saying that they wouldn't allow them to do it. I mean, Cole Kubler was right. They're gonna do a spring. It's just a matter of how they do it and how much they limit those seasons and the total number of games. I think that plan from Jeff Brohm has too many. As far as the high schools, I think that's even a shorter turnaround. So without still thinking it through some more, off the top of my head, I would say no, I would not allow that. But that's something that I would dive into and be open to arguments on how it would work. But I would say no right now.
You have to say no, because if you think Jeff Brohm's plan is too many games, you can't agree with playing a high school season and then playing spring football, college. Or else your argument's inconsistent if you played a high school season.
Well, it depends on what that other one is, what that college-to-college plan is. Now, Jeff Brohm's, I think it is too many games, but that's what I'm saying. Off the top of my head, I would say no, but I'd have to give it some thought. Maybe there's something I'm not thinking of. So
no, you've given him enough thought. So here's, now I'll say this. If they're not playing junior college football, then I'm fine with a midterm junior college player going to college and playing at midterm. I'm fine with that if you didn't have junior college football. Right. But I would be – and, look, I don't know how many games, but I'll say this. If you play a 10-game regular season in high school, and as you know, it's a whole lot different physically going from high school to college than it is from junior college to college or from college in the spring to college in the fall. I would be completely opposed to going from high school to playing a spring football schedule or playing and being eligible. I don't like that at all. I could see somebody making an argument, well, if the state of Virginia shut down high school football and they didn't play at all, then why couldn't this player go play at midterm at some school? Okay, I can kind of see that argument. But then I also wonder, as you're talking about, what about that can of worms you're opening? Do you have to have a – is there a rule that said if you didn't play any high school football, then you can do it, but if you played some, you can't? You know, is that your argument? Or – go ahead.
No, okay, go ahead.
Or if let's say you got injured at the start of the season and couldn't play in high school, but then by December you were healthy, but you only played one game. Now you can go play college? I don't know. I don't know what all the rules you'd have to put in, but I would be in favor of saying, no, we're not going to allow that unless you came from a junior college in which they did not play a season.
All right. Well, here's a scenario. You talked about some of the what-ifs going in. Here's something on the back end. What if you put a limit on the number of games that an early enrollee could play? Like, in order, you could play up to 4 games in the spring, and you were maxed out at that, basically giving you a red shirt for that. You get some experience, and you don't have to play all those games, and you're maxed out for that in these special circumstances. What about that?
I would lean in favor of that if you limited the number that they played.
That's why I needed to give it some more thought, Jimmy, because I just came up with that.
Why did it take you so long?
Because I'm watching our Facebook Live. That's my
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Look, there are exceptions to everything, and I get that. But there's a part of me, and while I said I could lean in that direction, there's a part of me that feels like you need to have a fast rule about that. And but maybe that rule is if your state didn't allow you to play high school and you were not taxed by playing football 9 games, 10 games, 15 games in high school, then physically you would be in better shape to go play in college. So I could see in that direction a little bit. I did want to ask you also about Cole Kubelik and some of the things that he said in regard to the situation that we face right now. And one of them is, I thought it was funny, if I could dominate the way Trey Smith does, you darn right I would play. That's fun. I'd be knocking people over. Yes, I would play. But other than that, I'm not sure he would, but I could see where he was coming from. I do wonder, and I know Trey Smith says he wants to play. I went off on this earlier, and you may have a different take. I'm not a big fan of telling somebody you should or shouldn't play. I hear people all the time, well, you shouldn't play. You should look. That's that person's decision. I think of that in the bowl game as well. If you want to play in the bowl, you don't want to play in the bowl. That's your decision. I'm not a big fan of somebody else telling you what to do. How do you see that?
Well, it's opinions, Jimmy. I don't know that there is. It's one thing if they're going to them and they're telling them, you know, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, and campaigning against them playing. But part of
which is what they do on ESPN, by the way. But go ahead.
Well, but that's made for TV argument television, where they're intentionally trying to be over the top with opinions, in order to, get ratings and to do that. So I don't. That's why I think it's a little bit more over the top with some of those ESPN guys. But I agree with you. It should be their decision. I think the big thing is you can have an opinion on whether you think it's too much or not. That's not necessarily telling people what they should do.
That's right.
A lot of players, I think a lot of players will opt out from the spring. That doesn't mean I'm telling them you need to opt out. I just think it'll happen.
Yeah, I do too. All right, we are about to have a winner for the big ticket, a fabulous prize. And from that, let's go to Jeff Jarnigan. Jeff.
And then when we get, okay, we are live. Okay. We have just gone live here on the air also. Okay, we're down to our last five in big ticket, brought to you by Food City and Body Armor Sports Drink. Thanks to both of our sponsors who have been great partners for several years. We genuinely appreciate that. Chris Mills is here. He's doing the pulling of the names. We're down to the last five.
Here we go, guys.
The next person that's out at this point. Having a little trouble with that name out of the tube there, aren't you?
Katie Priestwood. Sorry, you've been eliminated.
Was in fifth. We have four names left for Big Ticket 2020. It's tickets to football, basketball, Lady Vols, baseball. You got softball, Titans, you name it.
Number four is Caleb Leach.
Caleb Leach is in fourth. So we have three left.
The three names, we're going to read off those three names real quick. Carly Lee.
Carly Lee is one of them.
Ernest Jones.
Carly Lee, Ernest Jones, and who else is the last one?
Mike Newcomb.
So one of those three is going to be our big ticket winner. All right, here we go. Third person is coming in third in the contest, and that is
Mike Newcomb.
Sorry, Mike. Okay, we have two names left in the tumbler here. We're going to draw out a name. That name is eliminated. We'll set it aside. Then we will. The next name you hear is actually the winner. So we're going to eliminate one. Go ahead and get you one. Pull it out. Leave that in a bottle. Set it aside. It's all on Facebook Live, so they can see that. All right, pull out your – this is the winner of Big Ticket 2020, brought to you by Food City and Body Armor Sports Drink. And the winner of Big Ticket 2020 is Ernest Jones.
Congratulations, Ernest. You are our winner, our grand prize winner of Big Ticket 2020. You made it through the winner.
Let's send it back to Sports Talk. All right.
All right. Thank you, Jeff Jarnigan. So congratulations to Ernest Jones. How about that? Winner of season tickets for Tennessee football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball. You got parking passes mixed in with that. You got Titans season tickets. You got Ice Bears season tickets. Wow. And there's nobody in the country hoping more for football than Ernest Jones, because he's going to have a fun fall if we do have the NFL and we do have college football. So a great prize. Congratulations to Ernest Jones. Our thanks to Food City. Our thanks to the Body Armor Sports Drinks for sponsoring that along the way. So, again, a wonderful prize for Ernest Jones. Okay, when we come back, Vince and I have more topics to discuss. We'll talk about his interview with Britton Colquitt. We'll also talk about some of the comments from Brent Hubbs. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900, from the Food City in Fountain City, Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, this is Vault for Life, Troy Fleming. We're counting it down. It's just
44 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Farrar. We're at Food City in Fountain City. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Just reading the story where the chancellor at UT, Donde Plowman, said that there will be no tailgating. She also said there will be a reduced capacity at Neyland Stadium. Of course, we had Philip Fulmer on 2 weeks ago to mention that, and he said that it would be somewhere between 20 and 50% capacity for Neyland Stadium this season. Again, no tailgating. And I don't know how soon they're going to announce the situation with the tickets. Vince, I'm anticipating within 10 days we will have a schedule. I'm anticipating within 14 days the SEC is going to announce whether or not we play. And I'm thinking the same timeline would likely play with the attendance figures. What's your percentage going to be at your home games? So I keep hearing 20 to 33%. I think 50% is optimistic. So I think we're going to know those things, all of those, within 14 days, maybe a little bit sooner. Any thoughts on that?
No, I agree with you. I think the plan was to hopefully get the schedule out this week, but with everything that happened with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, Jimmy, I think that probably pushed things back for the SEC. I mean, they had to adjust and reassess and put all this to kind of, you know, get back together in what they were going to do and make sure that this continued on while still following everything that the other conferences were doing and address that. So I think that probably slowed them down a little bit, but I would expect those things to be addressed here really soon, probably by at least by next week.
All right. Cole Kubelik, as we had him earlier today, talked about how some people have said you can't fit in spring football. And he said, you get it in where you can fit it in. He said, I laugh at the people that say it can't be done. You have to look at the financial aspect because it's a must-have. Vince, I agree with him. I think it's extremely important to try to get it in for a lot of reasons, in particular the financial reasons. What do you think?
Yeah, regardless of the stance on whether it's too many games or whatever, all that is hey, people saying that it's a health and safety issue. Well, you have to consider that if you are going to talk health and safety, and that is something to consider. That doesn't mean that they won't try to do it and won't need to do it. So, yeah, I agree with him. They'll find a way to put some kind of product on the field. I do think that they will try to do something because they need it. And then, hey, where do the TV networks, where do they fall in all this? How much will they be willing to incentivize these leagues to try to make it work, regardless if the stars are there, that they would still be able to give them big chunks of money and help them offset some of the losses? What is TV's role? I'm guessing they'll want any sort of college football, even if a lot of the stars aren't there. So that's a more of a reason why I would think they would make it happen, because I think TV would help incentivize it for them.
Oh, I agree. I think that's a great point. The other thing is that I've heard people say, well, you can't do spring football in the spring because you got all these other sports that are going to be intertwined with it. Vince, I don't think that matters. I think if you can get football on the table, and it is, as everybody knows, the cash cow. You get the TV money. You'll get some perhaps season ticket money, donation money. I don't think it matters. It's going to overlap softball and baseball and basketball and other sports. Do you?
No, and who knows if some of those sports are even there in existence by the time we get to that point with the way things are going. And with these leagues that are moving to the spring, then – the losses that they know that are now in front of them, those other sports may be a shell of what they were. I hope not. I mean, the cuts we've seen already is terrible, but I think in order for everyone's health, you deal with a little bit less attendance at whatever other Olympic sport you're talking about because there's football going on.
Yeah.
Maybe it takes away from your attention, but at least you can get through the competition for those kids in your university. So I think that that's not a big hurdle for them.
I agree. Let's go to Roger. Roger, you're on Sports Talk.
Well, hey, Jimmy, hey, Vince, how y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Hope you are too.
Good, Roger.
Yeah, doing fine. It's good. Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you both. It's good to hear you on here, Vince, and you too, Jimmy. And I just want to ask you about the football thing. I just wanted to ask you, Vince, about wrestling.
No, you go right ahead.
Real quick.
Go right ahead, Roger.
Okay. Thanks, Jimmy. Vince, I just want to ask you about wrestling. Do you watch wrestling much, Vince? Much?
I do. I do. I love it. I record. Usually it's not live. I DVR it. But when I'm working, it's always on in the background. I DVR all the shows, AEW, WWE, three nights a week, all any wrestling that is on television or even on YouTube, I will find it and have it on at least in the background. So I love it. I watch it every week. You watch it as well?
Not now. I used to, but I don't watch it now. I just want to ask you about Hulk Hogan. I know that I heard Hulk Hogan's birthday was the other day, and I just want to ask you, but do you like Hulk Hogan at all, Vince? Hulk Hogan?
I know his popularity was incredible, but I wasn't as big of a fan of his as I was some others. Certainly, in terms of popularity, he is 1, 2, or 3 all time. But I wasn't as big a fan of his. So, yeah, I know what he meant to the sport and how iconic he was. There's no doubt.
Okay. All right, I was talking about that, and that's why I asked you, Jimmy, do you like wrestling at all, Jimmy, any at all?
Not really, but I will tell you that when I was younger, I watched it, and Vince will know this name, I'm sure. My favorite wrestler when I was growing up was a guy named Gorgeous George.
Oh,
you remember him, Vince?
Yeah, that was a little bit prior to my time, but I knew who he was for sure.
Hey, to be the man, you had to beat Gorgeous George. That was the old saying.
Okay.
Just kidding.
That was Ric Flair.
Hulk Hogan? Any? Jimmy? Hulk Hogan? Any? Jimmy?
Well, not a whole lot. I had quit watching by then. But I will say this. I remember seeing him in the stands when Tennessee played in what was a Hall of Fame bowl game in, like, 1993. It was in Orlando. And he was in the end zone entertaining people. I remember seeing Hulk Hogan down there. And but, no, I had stopped watching wrestling when he became a star.
Okay. I'm just curious about that. And also, that's about football now. Do you think Jimmy and Vince? I know a lot has happened since I talked to you last. One, I know there'll be 10 and playing. Also, do you think who would you want if we did play football, Vince and Jimmy? I know the kids aren't out yet, but not state. Just want to ask you, who would you if he was wanting to do a game? Who would you want to play first? I know that SC kids were. I don't know what's out, but the date now. I just want to ask you, if he was doing it, who would you want to play first?
Who would I want Tennessee to play first?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me think about that. I would
Jimmy,
say.
I'll go while you're. If you need to think about it, I can jump in. If I'm a Tennessee fan and you're waiting on the schedule to come out, Roger, with those two extra teams in a 10-game conference schedule, the biggest thing that I would want is for those tougher games to be spread out and not have them all together. So I wouldn't worry about, we usually play Alabama this week. Why don't we play them in the third Saturday of October? Or, we always play Florida at this day. I wouldn't worry about that. Space out the tough games to give you the best chance to win rather than the order of them. That's the way I would look at it as a Tennessee fan.
Okay, and here's who I want to play right off the bat. Arkansas, because I want to get off to a good start. Florida, if they go by this, and they won't, they're going to reshuffle the deck, I wouldn't want to play Florida right off the bat. You've beaten Florida once in the last 15 years. I don't want to get off to an 0-1 start. I want to beat somebody and continue the momentum I had from a year ago if I can.
All right, so Arkansas week one and Florida week two. There you go, Jimmy.
Yep, that's right.
That's a good one. That's a good one there. And then
Arkansas
also,
in week three.
And also, look, Jimmy and Vince, but fans, you think they have fans? They could be any fans this year, or they could be empty this year, fall for football to come fall. And I know that some I've heard that some say yes or no on that one. But how y'all feel about fans?
Right now, I think it's going to be 20 to 33%. Understanding there's a chance there will be no fans. But I would be surprised at less than 20 and surprised at more than 33. So that's where I am, and I do think there will be fans. But we got to make sure, and I say we, I mean across the country, we got to make sure that these numbers don't continue to spike.
I hear you, Jimmy, with that. It's important. Vince, how about you, Vince, about that, on that?
I agree. I think they'll try to make it work with a percentage of fans, and then you know we'll see how they can manage it once inside the stadium. You know they did it at Bristol. You're probably going to see smaller fan base, smaller attendance at high school games. There'll be other events. There'll be MMA before that here at the Cotton Eye Joe. There'll be other sporting events that will happen in the area and in the state. So I think they'll, unless things get much worse, I think there'll be a percentage of fans, but it's not going to be a lot.
All right. Well, I had to talk to y'all, and y'all have a good night. Good night.
Okay, Roger. Roger. Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Sure. Bye-bye.
And when we come back, we'll have our final segment. We come to you from the Food City in Fountain City. We do, again, appreciate them for being a sponsor for the Big Ticket and also for Body Armor Sports Drinks for being a sponsor as well. And our congratulations again to Ernest Jones, who won season tickets for Tennessee football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, and for the Titans and for the Ice Bears. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Not so much our job as it is our obsession. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Holmes with Vince Ferrar. We're at the Food City in Fountain City. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. A couple of notes out there. I thought this was interesting. The Dallas Cowboys gained the most yards in NFL history in a season, 6,904, for a team that didn't make the playoffs. Most yards gained by a team that didn't make the playoffs. Also, Bill Barnwell with ESPN listed his teams that he think will be the most improved in the NFL this year. His four teams are Dallas, Detroit, the Chargers, and the Bengals. Vince, I'm on board with Dallas. I do think they will be a very much improved team. I guess Cincinnati can be a lot better than a two-win team. But I'm not as sure about Detroit and the Chargers. I like Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay a whole lot more than I like the Chargers in Detroit. What do you think?
Well, those might be different conversations. Are you talking about you know getting into the playoffs? I agree with you. Tampa Bay and
wins.
Pittsburgh.
Wins.
Right.
Win total.
Right. Yeah. Right, but they may not be – yes, Tampa Bay will make a big jump up. Pittsburgh, I would say so. Yeah, I would agree with that. But, yeah, the two that I had the biggest questions on that list of improved was Detroit and the Chargers. Cincinnati, because they're coming from so far away, they have offensive skill, talent to work with. They'll be better, I think, at the quarterback position. I don't know about the schedule yet. I'd have to go back and study that, but – Dallas should be better, but Detroit, I just don't have confidence in Matt Patricia, honestly. I like what they did at the draft, but I don't know that team can make a big jump. Oh, by the way, Minnesota and Green Bay are really good, and the Bears are still formidable as a third team, so that division is a factor. And the Chargers, I don't know that they make a big jump. They might be kind of in the same boat. What do they have at quarterback? You know, Tyrod Taylor, Justin Herbert. They had a lot of turnovers last year, but they always have injuries as well. So that's another reason I have a hard time trusting them.
I agree. So he's got the four that'll have the biggest decline: Green Bay, Seattle, Houston, and New Orleans. Now, what I find interesting about that is, in my opinion, those are four of the top, I don't know, six quarterbacks in the NFL on those teams. I guess, yeah, I mean, he could end up being right, but there's not one there that I would say, yeah, that team's going to have a two- or three-game decline. How do you see those four?
I don't agree with any of them. The only one that you could make a case for perhaps would be Green Bay because they had such a good regular season last year then maybe you still think they're a playoff team, but maybe they're a 10-win team this year instead, or yeah. something like that. And then Houston, if you think they're third in the division, like some people do with the Colts and the Titans, then maybe they slip back a game or two. Is this the same Bill Barnwell that Mike Keith took to task for his ranking? What was it? Skill position talent? Isn't that who Mike Keith took to task? Yeah.
Yeah. He had the Titans like 20 something. Yeah.
Yeah. In offensive skill talent? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, here's my team, and I'm doing this just based on history. I'm going with San Francisco because, for whatever reason, a lot of times a team that loses the Super Bowl struggles the next year, even doesn't make the playoff at times. I think there's a Super Bowl hangover for the team that loses it. So I'm going with San Francisco, even though personnel-wise that doesn't make sense. But I'm just going to go with history on that. Okay, here's something that doesn't make sense. There's a rookie cornerback at Seattle. His name is Kamah Silverand, and he got waived by Seattle. Well, why did he get waived? Well, he got caught trying to sneak a woman into the hotel where they were being, I guess, quarantined, and she was wearing Seattle gear and tried to pretend that she was a member of the team. So he got caught. He got cut. He's from Oklahoma State. Not a very smart decision.
No, and these guys, you know this is going to happen where they have to learn hard lessons, and it puts everybody else at risk, just like those Cleveland Indians pitchers, both of which were on my fantasy team, by the way, not that anyone cares, but both of those guys that broke the rules are on my fantasy team. But it's amazing, and especially if you're a rookie. I mean, he's not like some big drafted guy. You're a rookie. Concentrate on trying to make the team and whatever you can, not in sneaking girls in there. You have all kinds of free time if you get cut, if you want to go date and do whatever. Man, it's unbelievable. But, he can go out and make any statement he wants to, just like those Indians players. There's no reason why you can't know better in that situation. So... it's unfortunate, and hopefully there weren't any ramifications within the Seahawks to come because of this.
Right, exactly. Good point. Okay, as far as some golf, the Wyndham Tournament in Greensboro, North Carolina, Scott Stallings shot an even par 70, Knoxville product. Peter Malnati, also from Knoxville, shot a 68. He's 2 under par, so solid performance by Malnati. Stallings is going to have to go under par if he wants to make the cut. Harold Varner leads the way with a 62. Two others shot 62 in the first round. But, again, the two Knoxville players in the tournament at Wyndham. Thought this was interesting. So the NFL released this. There have been over 109,000 tests conducted by the NFL, and the positive rate was 0.46%. Vince, that's a really good number.
Absolutely. And the number of players on that reserve COVID list continues to dwindle. There's got one or two guys added. There'll be 8 or 9 that are reactivated off of it. So as John McClain pointed out, that's going in the right direction. They have to be happy with those numbers. So I think that's a really good sign for the NFL. And I've talked to a couple of NFL players this week that say, hey, my organization is taking this really seriously. I mean, really, really strict about it. And the Seahawks showed it as well. We're not cutting you any slack. So I think those are all good signs so far for the NFL.
We mentioned George Kittle with that contract, 5-year extension, $75 million, $40 million guaranteed. Kansas City's Travis Kelce, 4 years, $57 million extension. He's not bad either. That's a great contract for a tight end. You remember years ago when Jimmy Graham was trying to say, I'm a wide receiver, not a tight end, and get more money? Mm-hmm. It didn't really work. What ended up happening was he went to Seattle from New Orleans. But not a concern about that, because Kittle's getting tremendous money. And, look, I think he deserves it. I think he is a premier tight end. And I think Kelce is as well. What do you think?
I agree. Mm-hmm. I would have my list, Kittle 1, Kelce 2. But those guys are special, and they deserve that money.
Just a couple of quick notes on the NBA. I read where they were given some bubble awards by ESPN. the rookie of the year during the bubble, Michael Porter, the Missouri product who never really got to play because of injury. He averaged 22 points, 8.6 rebounds, and shot 55%, which is pretty darn good. And the coach during the bubble, Monty Williams of the Suns, kind of hard to argue with that. Defensive player of the year, Mark Gasol with Toronto. How about that one? And then their MVP was Dame Lillard over Devin Booker and T.J. Warren. So that was a look at some of their projections there from the bubble personnel. Vince Ferrar, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Look forward to you joining us again tomorrow as we come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks. And also thank those that listen, and congratulations once again to our big ticket winner. This has been Sports Talk.